Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this gorgeous day. I think it's warming up. The heating and air conditioning people had been in. They had left it on the air conditioning cycle. So Carol cut it on the heat so I can feel it. I hope you're getting warm. It doesn't take too long on a day like this. For the scouts, Kathy, you can see Kathy Segge after the service. If you ordered a hoagie, you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. Appreciate having a record of your attendance. Senior Adult Day, Wednesday, May the 6th at Camp Crestfield. And you can see B.J. Morrison for that. It's $30. And I believe that includes two meals for that, correct? So that's not a bad deal. Flower donations, you can read about that. Valley Garden, getting ready to start. There's still some spots. Women's Association seeking helpers. I needed in the kitchen. For cooking, and then on the Thursdays. May will be the last one, and then they'll take a summer break and start back in September. A much-needed break for them, and we thank them for everything that they're doing. You can read about the clean sweep and the scripture readers. Just love having the scripture readers. Some announcements a pastor likes to make. Some announcements pastor does not like to make. This is one I do not like making. Bill and Nancy Baker, this is their last official Sunday here. They are retiring. Nancy just retired this week. Bill's retiring this week. I forget which day he said it'll be his last day, Tuesday or Thursday, something. So they'll both be retired, moving back to their home in Oil City where family are. So we appreciate your time here at Glenshaw Valley. You will be missed. And Session had passed a law last year that everyone who leaves the church has to send their tithes and offerings back here for 5 years. So, so you will be missed, and thank you for your participation and everything you've meant to us. So give them a hearty goodbye, and we hope you can come back in the area and visit with us sometimes. And who knows, maybe I'll pop up there on my motorcycle one day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise for this morning, 410. My faith looks up to thee.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession, as you find printed in your bulletin.
Dear Heavenly Father, we love and adore you. We praise you for loving us. Forgive us when we forget the foundations of our faith. Remind us that how we act as Christians reflects back onto you. Help us to be good examples to others. Teach us how we can reject sin. Show us how to accept people with love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Christians around the world as we recite a traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. As we get ready to greet one another, there is no acolyte recognition this Sunday. That was last Sunday. So let's take a moment and greet one another.
Thank you.
The responsive reading, Psalm 27, 697, and hymnal 697, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn away your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors.
I am so confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
No one turned any prayer or praise requests this morning, so we'll go straight to prayers. I just want to remember the church in general. Remember the mission initiative we're seeking to get started and be praying about that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these days because you are with us. You are the foundation of our faith, our belief. Jesus Christ, we confess, is our Lord and our Savior, and even our friend. He helps us through the struggles and the tribulations and the trials of this life. And we are so thankful for that. What could we do without you? Where would we be able to look or go if this life was all that there was? What would be the purpose? But you have called us into relationship with you. You are our purpose, to live with you and to live for you and to try to tell others about you. Thank you, Lord, once again for our salvation, for being willing to sacrifice your life so that we might have life upon this earth, but even more importantly, life eternal with you in the heavens. We lift up our friends, our family. We lift up our church, that you touch us in a very special way. Help us and guide us, lead us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be your church, those called out of the world into a relationship with you. May we reach out to others in love and dignity and respect as we tell them what you have done for them and for everyone who will believe. Heal us this day, Lord, in every way that we need healing. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation, a screen song, We Exalt Thee. Thank you. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means to us and our families, our friends, our neighbors, what it means for the world. Lord, we hope that everyone will accept you as Lord and Savior and know the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness of sins, and the gifts that you give from above. You give them for your church, for us, your people, that we can tell others about you. We can fellowship together, pray together, love together. Thank you for everything that is given, everything that is done for your glory and your name, dear. We exalt and lift up. Bless this congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is taken from Acts 4, verses 1 through 12. Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." May the Lord bless the reading of today's scripture.
Thank you, Orly. I wonder if there's anything harder on our ego than being rejected. I suspect that's one of the reasons that many married persons are happy they're no longer playing the dating game. It hurts too much to ask someone out and they reject you, and then you start thinking, well, what's wrong with me? What did I do? Am I not good enough? You would have to have thick skin even to risk such a response. Rejection. What a cruel thing to happen to anyone. And yet it happens to all of us sooner or later. You apply for a job, you believe it is the perfect fit for you, but your prospective employer has other ideas. Hire someone else. Rejection. You work hard on a proposal at work. You know your boss will be delighted. Instead, she is more impressed by her co-worker's idea. Rejection. It happens to everybody. It happens to best-selling authors. Ken Taylor's paraphrased version of the Bible, which is called the Living Bible, was rejected by 63 publishers. He finally self-published it, and the Living Bible became one of the biggest sellers of all time. Chicken Soup for the Soul by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen was rejected 140 times, and yet they turned it into a series of books that have made both of them very, very rich individuals. Stephen King's disturbing work, Carrie, was rejected 30 times. Supposedly after the final rejection, King threw it into the trash can and his wife came and retrieved it later. It happens to celebrities. When Steven Spielberg applied to the film school of both UCLA and USC, he was rejected. But I think Spielberg has done all right for himself. Director of many blockbusters, one of the most well-known directors of all time. When Fred Astaire had his first screen test at MGM, the casting director wrote this memo: can't act, slightly bald, can dance a little. Cartoonist Charles Schulz of Peanuts fame had every cartoon that he ever drew rejected by his school's yearbook staff. So take heart. Rejection happens to everyone sooner or later. And if you're unable to deal with rejection, you're in trouble. Because sooner or later, you are going to be rejected. Our Master, Jesus Christ Himself, our Lord, was rejected. We read in today's lessons from Acts 4, the stone that the builders rejected has become the head cornerstone or capstone. Luke, the writer of Acts, was quoting Psalms 118:22. He was saying that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that prophecy. The stone that was rejected has become the head cornerstone. Let's recap what is happening in the book of Acts. In chapter 3, there's a much beloved story about a lame man who's being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Friends or family brought him to the gate every day so he could beg. There were no social welfare programs. This is what he had to do to survive. When the poor man saw Peter and John about to enter the gate, he asked them for money, but boy, did he ever get a surprise that day. Peter turned to the man and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I will give to you in the name of Jesus." And he said, "Walk." Then taking the lame man by the right hand, Peter helped him up. Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he began walking, he began to jumping, and he began praising God. This was one happy man, and he should have been, being able to walk after being crippled for all that time. And people who recognized this man were filled with wonder and amazement, and they saw him carrying on like this, just kind of going berserk. And a huge crowd gathered, and Peter began preaching to the crowd about the resurrected Jesus and the power to heal that comes from Jesus Christ. Now, this disturbed the priests very, very much, and it disturbed the guard temple, the captain, because many who heard the message believed that the two apostles said people were starting to buy in to this Jesus movement. In fact, that day, the number of believers grew to about 5,000. The Sadducees were particularly disturbed by the apostles' claim that Jesus was resurrected from the dead because one of their core tenets of their belief was there is no resurrection. And many Jews still believe that today. Christ's resurrection, if true, presented them with a real dilemma. It struck down their core, one of their core beliefs. And so they seized Peter and John and had them put in jail. And if you're following, watching the story AD, the Bible, you're seeing some of this played out before you, and it's really an excellent show. The following morning, those who were disturbed by the apostles' teachings interrogated Peter and said, "By what power or what name did you do this?" They wanted to know, I mean, how can you do this? Who are you? And Peter took the opportunity to do a little teaching and preaching. Peter explained that whatever they saw the disciples doing was not being accomplished by their own power or strength, but by the power of the risen Christ. Peter also reminded them that this act of healing the lame man was an act of kindness. Surely that should take precedence over rules and regulations. This was the same Jesus whom the religious leaders had crucified in fulfillment of the scriptures. God had raised Jesus from the dead. So Peter further elaborates by repeating the beautiful verse already expressed in Psalm 112. The stone you builders rejected has become the cornerstone or the capstone. He reminded all who were present that Jesus, although temporarily humiliated, was ultimately glorified. He is now the Redeemer, and no one can go before the Father unless they come through Him. There are some important things that our lesson today is saying to us. First of all, Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, is the cornerstone of our faith. If you take Jesus out, there is nothing left. The cornerstone or capstone is not simply a decorative stone used to finish off the corner of a building with a bit of architectural flair. Rather, it is that fundamental stone that structurally holds a building together. Visualize for a moment an old Roman archway built from two corners of carefully carved stone. When the two sides arc in towards each other at the top and begin to meet in the center, there's a triangular-shaped stone that sits in the middle and balances the two sides of the arc against each other. That is the capstone. And we see it, the architecture around Pittsburgh. It'll often be a different color stone. But if you remove that stone, the whole thing would fall to pieces. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is the capstone or cornerstone for all who follow Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. German theologian David Michaelis taught that this passage from the Psalms concerning the cornerstone refers to a specific event that reportedly took place during the building of Solomon's temple. It said that this massive temple was built in relative silence. There was no pounding of hammers in the area. The reason there was no pounding of hammers is because the plans were so exact and perfect that the stone was perfectly shaped at the quarry. When the stones arrived at the building site, each one fit perfectly into place. But there was one huge stone that didn't seem to fit anywhere, so the builders pushed it to the side. Eventually it got in the way, so the workmen pushed it over the bank and it rolled down into the Kidron Valley that lay below. After the foundation had been laid, the time came to hoist the cornerstone into place. But the cornerstone could not be found anywhere. So they sent the workers back to the quarry and to the head men and asked the masons where it was, and they said, well, that was already delivered to you. You have it. Finally, it was deduced that it was the stone that had been rejected and rolled over the hill into the Kidron Valley. When it was retrieved, it slid perfectly into place, serving as a stone that held all the others in position. But Jesus is the only reliable foundation on which any of us can build our lives. You come to church, and if you don't have Jesus in it and with you and in your heart, you're just coming to worship. You have to have Jesus at the center of your life. Ellen Kennedy puts it this way: when I began to take Jesus seriously, I began to take a particular young woman with scorn. I felt contempt for her as I thought at her quick temper, her selfishness, her spiteful gossiping, and the way she took her loving family for granted. Anytime she was mentioned, I could think of very little good to say about this woman. Well, one day as I was leafing through an old photo album filled with photos of her, Jesus' Spirit spoke to my spirit and told me concerning this woman. He said, I've always loved her. Despite her failings, I have forgiven her. That I want you to forgive her and to love her too. She says, as I gazed at the young woman's face in the photos, my heart was filled with compassion for that girl. Along the way in searching for life's meaning, she had made many mistakes. And God made me a gentle love for her and the ability to forgive her for all the things that she had done. That moment of healing when I decided to forgive her and to love her also gave me a new strength and a new freedom to love others as never before. You see, the young woman in that photo album was me. Only Christ can change a person's heart and give us a true love for self, a true love for others, and that true love for God. Only God, when your heart is filled, can do that. Jesus, the stone the builders rejected, is the cornerstone of our faith. No way around it. You have to have Jesus. Jesus is the only reliable foundation on which we can build our lives. I truly believe that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. May God bless you. Amen. There are different gifts, but it is the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord who is served. God works through different people in different ways, but it is the same God who achieves His purpose through them all. Each one is given a gift by the Spirit to use it for the common good. Together, we are the body of Christ, and individually, members of Him. Though we have different gifts, together we are a ministry of reconciliation, led by the risen Christ. We work and pray to make His church useful in the world, and we men and women of faith, so that in the end, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. With our common ministry, some members are chosen for particular work as teaching elders, ruling elders, or deacons. In ordination, we recognize these special ministries, remembering that our Lord Jesus said, "Whoever among you wants to be great must be the servant of all. And if he wants to be first among you, he must be the slave to all men." This time I call Lynn Love forward. And just kind of stand for us to get on the other side. Lynn has served as an elder before, so she does not need ordained, so she is being installed. Lynn, you've been called again into a position of special leadership in the church. You welcome the work for which you have been chosen, and will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in His promises through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I do thank
you. This time I'll call Cliff, Mr. Clerk, to you will respond to these questions if you're able, but we do.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Lynn Love as a ruling elder, a minister of the word, elders, and deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do we agree to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow her as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church?
Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this special moment in the life of our church. Being an elder is at times difficult, but it is a privilege. You have called Lynn, you have chosen her to be one of your leaders within the church. We thank you for the gifts that she will bring to the table. We thank you for the sense of unity we believe that she will have working together. Thank you, Lord, for calling her. Bless her and her family as she goes forward as your servant. In the name of Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. I'll be the first to welcome you back as an elder. I look forward to working with you. I know other elders do. And after the benediction song, then we'll come back and stand and give you a chance to welcome her.
All right.
hymn of response, 335, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Of your life? Are you loving Jesus? Are you serving Jesus? Are you helping your fellow mankind? As you go from here, go with love in your heart and mercy and grace and the best acceptance of yourself and of others. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.